pictures we take are not always what we want to have. This is Dr. Herbert L. Varley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Absolute Philosopher. Pictures we take are not always what we want to have. We can look at a scene, and as I did, I was walking along our meditation path, along Ellen's very special path that she prepared so beautifully, and I saw, after our recent rains, little tiny sprouts of green grass jumping out of the soil, jumping out of the path. And it looked so beautiful. It wasn't a blanket of green, but it was very pretty little, well, I don't know how you would describe it.
Succulent, a little carpet.
Not a carpet. It was more like, it's hard to describe. It wasn't all there. It was more path, dirty path than grass, but the grass was coming up, you could tell. Mm-hmm. But from my perspective, the grass looked beautiful and looked wonderful. So I took a picture of a couple of them. And as I took the pictures of it, I looked at them and I said, the camera's not seeing what I'm seeing. I'm seeing all these beautiful little sprouts come up. So I got closer down. And got closer down, and still the camera didn't see it, because my eyes were looking where the camera wasn't looking. And I was looking at a former path that was just a brown earthen path, and now it was festooned with blades of beautiful grass. It wasn't a full lawn, but beautiful grass. We sometimes think that we're getting the same picture with our photographs as we do with our mind. Our mind has the opportunity to live in a totally different framework than a camera. The camera takes what is. Now, that brings us to the artist. Now, a good artist with a camera can do magic, really magic. And the same with an artist with a paintbrush. An artist with a paintbrush will look at a scene and he'll take a picture of it, and then he'll look at the scene and he'll put the picture away. And when he paints the picture, you'd say, my goodness, I didn't see that. I didn't see that piece of tree with the bark that was sort of hanging on there a little bit and the new buds perking out of the main stem of the tree. I just saw the tree and its big branches and leaves and so forth, you know. And I'm going to have to take a look at that tree again. So after seeing the painting that the artist did, because he chose what he wanted from that tree, he painted in there in what you might call abundance, what he wanted and what he saw, and that's what he painted. So I looked at the tree, and as I looked at the tree, I could see that the little buds were there, not quite as full out as he painted them. I could see that the little piece of bark was still hanging there. The wind hadn't blown it away. And he had painted it maybe four times larger than the actual bark. But he was making a picture that was leaving an impression on somebody. The painting I would love. The photograph I would love for a different reason. I would love the photograph because the photograph captured the overall total picture the way it was. Whereas his painting captured what he had in his mind and heart about the tree blossoming forth with its little buds on the stem and so forth. We can do things like that. We do things like that. A young man looks at a young girl, and the young girl is a very normal, ordinary young girl. Not beautiful or not sad, but just ordinary. And he looks at her, and bells go out, whistles go on, and he says, wow, 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 wow. And he doesn't know he's saying wow, wow. He's just saying it. And he looks at her. He does not see what the dress she's wearing. He does not see what her build is, what her appearance is. He just sees her charisma. He sees her beautiful spiritual self. He sees that dynamic inner being, and that radiates out, and that's what he is interested in. And so he's looking at that, whereas we are looking at something entirely different. We're looking at a woman who is a waitress in a store, in a restaurant, and she has her waitress apron on, and she has her order book in the apron pocket, and she is standing up tall and straight, and she is efficient, doing her job. But we miss the twinkle in her eye. We miss the vibrations. We miss the charisma of her when we just say, I'll have this order, I'll have whatever I'll have. And so she says, okay, would you like cream with your milk? Cream with your coffee? Would you like sugar? Would you like this or that, you know? And we say, yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. Not thinking one little bit. Not thinking how thoughtful she is, doing her job properly, asking the right questions. And then she says, now, it doesn't come with a meal, but our salads are just superb. They're just meal-sized salads. It's only $1.25 extra. And with a meal-sized salad, oh, it's so delicious. You just love to have it. You got to buy it. You got to buy it. And then she says, now, you're having coffee, but we have a cappuccino machine here, which is producing beautiful cappuccinos. Would you like one of those?
Oh,
sure. Three times more expensive than the regular coffee, but, you know, we buy that. And then when it comes time where we're almost done eating, she says, now, don't eat all that on your plate. She said, save some room for dessert. And we think to ourselves, I sure would have to because I'm full almost, you know. And so I don't eat the rest of the food on my plate, but I save room for dessert. She says, now, I can tell by the sparkle in your eyes that you love a chocolate cake or you love a pecan pie, but a pecan pie without cream and ice cream is nothing. So we're going to serve that to you. And if you don't want to pay for the ice cream, that's okay. I'll pay for it. Oh. You just got to have it. Well, of course, we want to pay for it.
Okay.
And she sells us beautifully, you know, and we buy abundantly, and we don't think a thing about it. And then, after she cons us all through the meal, we tip her. We give her a tip saying, thank you very much for doing your job well, and thank you for exciting me to spend more money than I had planned on spending. I'm buying a meal now here with you that's three times more expensive than I would have done otherwise. And as she has that big smile on her face and that twinkle in her eyes, and she says, now, wasn't that good? She said, that's what I had yesterday for lunch. And she says, I knew you'd love it because I just knew you have good taste. And, you know, what are you going to do? You've got to give her another tip, you know. And people say nice things to you. And now, the people at the next table, they're a couple of grouches. And she comes up to them, and they don't want to buy into her niceness. They don't want to buy into her charisma. And they won't even look up. They'll say, I want this and this and this. And I want normal coffee and cream, and thank you. And they don't even look up. And so she goes away and gets their order. And they eat their order, they eat their lunch in silence, in sort of a grim affair. There's no bubble in their heart, there's no joy in their heart as they're eating, as you do when the waitress turns you on. You should really turn yourself on or turn the waitress on, but the waitress is paid to turn you on. And some waitresses can do it better than others, but you got to give them a little bit of help. You got to give them a little bit of help. Now, that waitress was an artist. She was a painter who would find the little buds that we would miss. She would find the piece of bark and make it large enough so you could see it. But to us with our camera and so on, it was just a little tiny piece of bark there just sort of working its way off the birch tree. And she would make us see life through a different set of eyes. Mm-hmm. The artist makes us see life through a different set of eyes. And so when I take a picture with a camera, if I have the wisdom to see the picture with a different set of eyes, I can get the picture. A good artist with a camera is not someone who just takes the picture that he sees. He takes the picture that is in his mind, in his heart, in his thought. Now, I've taken some pictures on my little iPhone camera here of Rex, and Rex is not always cooperative, staying long enough as I'm waiting for the camera to go through its gyrations. But I do get some good pictures, and I get the most beautiful pictures from the back of his head as he's looking out, surveying his domain. And I can see the gorgeous hair on his coat, you know, and it looks just marvelous. Now, if I were to really concentrate on what I'm doing there, I can get absolutely wonderful pictures. And, you know, I'm learning now in the use of the iPhone, in the use of my Apple computer in my iPhone iPhoto department to interweave pictures together and put them together into a very interesting pattern and to flow pictures and obviously it's not what really happened, but it can be what it wants. And they gave me a bunch of pictures of these guys who were out scuba diving, and they were scuba diving in the ocean and at night and in the afternoon, and they looked yucky. So I gave them a slight temperature. That's the thing that you use to change them. And 1 degree of temperature gave them all a beautiful tan.
Wow.
And bright and cheery they looked. And then because you couldn't see the background, I pressed the one that said shadow. So it reduced the shadow until all of a sudden now you could see behind them the something of the ship, which you couldn't see before. And you see their gear, and you could see the labels on their shirts, on their black outfits. And it's really quite something. And it's quite marvelous. And then if you don't like something in a picture, you just take the little device that's marked for changing it, and you go over something on their suit, a tear or something, and it disappears. You go over a wrinkle on the face, and it disappears. And you could do most anything. If you wanted to, you could even make the eye disappear and have them be a one-eyed rooster, you know. And it'd be kind of an interesting experience, but kind of silly, but hey, that's what they do these days with the magic of photography, the magic of the camera, the magic of the skill that you gain if you take the time to learn it as you go along. And I'm taking the time to learn it as I go along. So, with that, what kind of photography are you taking? Are you taking it with your heart, your mind, your soul? Did you see that waitress?
Yeah.
Did you see the kind of person she was?
Oh, yes.
Did you see the kind of clothes she had on? Her apron? Her apron?
Yeah.
I put an apron on her.
Yeah, you showed it to us.
Yeah. And what did she have in the pocket of her apron?
Her book.
Her order book. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so where did she have her pencil?
In her mind.
No, she had it over her ear, in her hair, you know, stuck it through her hair. It's a standard procedure, you know. That's right. Or no, like this here, you know, and then they take it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. But the thing is, when you hear a story, when you hear a photograph, and you can see how it's being done, pay close attention to it, not with judgment, but with openness, and enjoy it, and then you too will have the pecan pie with ice cream and cream for dessert. Have a lovely day, and know that I love you eternally.
I love you.